happening right now. It's the episode 5. Woo! Here we go.
Episode 5 of them.
So
this time we're actually on the right episode.
Yes. Thank you, Emma. last time I already watched episode 5. That's what we were doing, but very stupidly, I was wrong.
There we go. But it's good. You're extra prepared for today. You've watched this episode now. Probably too many times.
I'll just say before, I don't want to spoil it too much, but it is probably the worst episode of the entire series and how horrible it is. Yeah. And so I would also like to start this podcast by talking about my lovely friend Dave. He is probably our number one fan now. He has watched He's watched almost every episode that we've made so far. And I asked him, I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, if you have any, let me know if you find any parts, going on too long. Like, I'd love to hear any critiques you have. And so he sent me a message saying, he's like, yeah, the Them series is like kind of hard to listen to sometimes because it's just like an hour of you describing really violent scenes and it's super depressing. All the stuff you're talking about. So in that vein, Dave, I present to you the most depressing episode yet. And this will definitely be
I feel like it's a very special type of series where it's not happy at all. The next one that we do for Casual Creeps needs to be more casual.
We really didn't instill the casual into the Casual Creeps. It's very intense creeps.
Let's watch we need to watch Teen Witch next. I keep trying to get you to talk about Teen Witch because it's so stupid.
Yeah. We need to really lighten up the mood with Casual Creeps because people go in thinking it's going to be something different, but it's way worse.
I'm impressed that David's been listening to our Casual Creeps because I don't think we have very many people listening to these ones. It's usually the actual full-on movie episodes, but...
Well, people know those better, I guess. You know, that's for when we become huge and people go.
Yeah,
back
and people
back
want
catalog.
The more weird. They want the obscure stuff, you know.
Draws before they got big and full of themselves and got drug habits.
Oh my god, drug habits.
Ended up crashing their cars into people's houses.
Yeah, hope that never happens.
that
is our beautiful future. And before we get into it, obviously all of these episodes, I should probably say this before each one, but they're all spoiler territory because we are literally just giving you a rundown of each episode. So
yeah.
If you want to watch it and come
it's
back, feel free.
Upsetting.
Or maybe listen to it before you watch it, because this one is going to be a rough one to digest. So it starts out. Oh, don't even. just that. That's no. Once we get there, you'll understand why disturbing. Why that is just the worst. Anyway, we start out in more or less present day. I think it's a little bit before.
Right before the Emerys move in. Well, it's before the Emerys move in, and they're just getting ready to sign their paperwork, and you find out why the racist cop is slightly less racist than the other racist cops.
You do. You eventually find that out, but first...
before the boardroom.
Before it's the boardroom of all...
banking scumbags.
Banking people that are all in charge of... selling houses to communities in California, and they're talking about East and West Compton.
Bunch of rich assholes that are talking about how they're going to get richer by fucking over poor African American families, and how like the more that the communities fail, the more money they'll make because the mortgages and the interest rates are so high that they are essentially guaranteeing their success.
Absolutely insane. Like, it starts out, it's a bit of a history lesson, I guess, with the way that they show the map. And if you've seen the intro of the first episode, you'll see that it shows a map of California and Compton and all the communities that are turning red, and you see the red line. And we briefly discussed what that means in the first episode. But there's a little map, and it says on there that the green areas are the best places to live. The yellow areas, or no, sorry, the blue areas are still desirable. The yellow areas are declining, and the red areas are, in quotations, hazardous.
Oh. Because
in reality, they aren't hazardous, but they're just describing them that way because they contain certain ethnic minorities.
Yeah, yeah.
It's disgusting. And there's a line that one guy says, and I wrote it down because it is so horrific. It's like one of the first things one of the male realtors says. Uh-huh. He said, a few years back, West Compton, green as can be, not a colored person, Mexican person, Japanese person to be seen. And now it's gone full red. And so that just describes perfectly what they're concerned about in the neighborhoods. Like, apparently that's making them undesirable to live in. And you do see the female realtor that was who sold the house to the Emerys and to the Johnsons. She tries to speak up and tries to explain that actually when colored people move into these neighborhoods, they're actually increasing the market value. But she gets cut off immediately by some super
sexism. don't forget about that.
How she shouldn't be giving in to her weak female nature or something like that. So it doesn't matter what she says. If it goes against what the main dude thinks, she's basically just a stupid woman that should be at home looking after children.
They have a very poignant thing about talking about how it's like, oh, you chose the life you have, and that's why you don't have kids. And like, they look down on her because she's not like a housewife.
And to get into the to get back into the interest rates, they're charging double what they bought the houses for initially, and then on top of that, because a lot of them can't afford to just pay outright, they will give them some sort of a loan, but the loan is over 20% interest.
That's crazy. That's only like loan sharking.
But it's only for people in minorities. It's not for white families. Yeah. It's just the red zones. And the female realtor was trying to get them to offer competitive interest rates.
But of course, like, oh, you're a stupid woman. The other guy is like,
what the fuck? Yeah.
How dare you, silly lady?
How dare you? And so that's the first scene there. And then we kind of get a bit of background on the Johnson family when they first moved in. Because they are supposed to be the first family that moved into East Compton, right? Yeah, so the first colored family. And you see
they're the ones that went insane.
Yeah. And you see like the female realtor is kind of going against her morals, trying to convince these people to, you know, just, you'll be one of the first colored people in the neighborhood. And that's great because that's where the future is going. And she's trying to paint it as like this positive thing.
Yeah. You're not gonna
get it. She knows that she's fucking them over.
Attacked. Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. Not to mention they're signing their like financial death warrant.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be stuck in that house forever. Because
they can't leave.
They can't sell it.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, yeah, that's something else it? That like, they said. A white family won't buy it from a black family.
Exactly. And what happens
so high.
Is one of the guys said, I couldn't fully unpack it because it all happened so quickly. I was writing everything down like, oh my God, there's so much. One guy, he was basically saying each time they sell to a colored family and they can't
make more money,
pay it off.
They default. If they default, they make default money. If they pay it, they make money because they're charging them so much. But if they're default,
charging them so much, so it's even in their benefit. It's in their benefit if they leave. Exactly. Yeah. If they leave, and it's so is that money. What happens when someone defaults on their mortgage?
Yeah, they basically have to leave. They take it back. Like the bank will they'll take back your house, kick those people out, and then resell it. And they literally haven't done. Yeah, they haven't done anything. They haven't had to do anything. They can just sell the house again to another ethnic family that is still going to get fucked over, and then they can do it again. So the more that you default, the better, because they're at least putting a lump sum down. So those lump sums are like, you know, if you have like 500 people moving in that have a lump sum of like $5,000 back in the 50s, that's a crap load of money.
Yeah, and he's saying each time that happens, they keep jacking up the price each time. So it just keeps increasing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like our current house market.
Oh, but it's Canada. Yay. Vancouver is horrible. I could say that for the housing market.
Yeah. When people complain about the housing market here, I'm like, let me tell you about how much a shitty one-bedroom apartment downtown Vancouver costs. Because it is over $1 million.
Yeah. Well, like, my boss was talking about it. He's like, I found a house that was under $1 million. I was like, what a steal.
Under $1 million. Did he have to move 3 hours out of the city?
Oh, no, yeah, because it was on Bowen Island.
That's why. That's not Vancouver.
Yeah, that's not Vancouver.
Bowen Island's lovely, though, but,
it is delightful, but it also is very far away.
Far and secluded, yeah.
Yep. But, we then go on from really racist bankers and politicians to really racist police officer in the diner with poor lady who then gets more abused by a man.
Yeah, it's the same woman. It's the female realtor.
Yeah.
And you find out that there's been a bit of a sketchy situation going on under or behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There's some money being exchanged from the female realtor because she's been flipping houses and the sergeant is in on it. He's
keeping the peace.
He's keeping the peace between the white and black families, so to speak. He's not doing a great job. But
he's not really keeping the peace very well. He lets them do a lot of shit to them.
He does.
But again, it doesn't matter because they want them to leave at the same time because they can just bring in new people.
Yeah, because she's trying to make it so that these families will stick around, but it's not going that way. And
yeah, she clearly
doesn't want to be there. She wants to get out of this, but this sergeant is basically...
She's a kind-hearted person. She's actually a nice person.
She seems like she has a good heart, but she's stuck in an impossible situation where she's either this or she's going to jail. And this sergeant is blackmailing her now because, well, he could be. Theoretically, he would be if she tries to get out of it because he's like, well, you're the one who has their name on the contracts that you're giving to these families. You're paying me in cash, so I'm invisible. No one knows I'm involved. You've got no proof. I know exactly what you're doing, and if you try to get out of this early, I'm going to stick you in jail, basically.
Yeah. Not a great
position. So she's fucked. And it's clearly that her superiors knew this and kept their names off of the contracts so that they wouldn't get in trouble, and it's just all on her.
Person. Yeah.
She's they were the scapegoat. Yeah.
Yep. Yep, the scapegoat.
The scapegoat.
Yeah.
Escape out of there, goat.
Goat can't escape. It's scapegoat.
It's not an escape goat, it's a scapegoat.
Scapegoat, not a scapegoat. Scapegoat can't escape. Scapegoat. That's how it works.
Anyway,
we then
and then we
go
cut
to the Amityville red circle. We
almost, not quite. There's one quick scene.
Oh, there's still one more scene.
Not that important. well, maybe it's a little, I don't know yet, but when the female realtor gets back into her vehicle to drive away, there's someone in her backseat.
Oh, yes. No, that is important because that guy says a disgusting line about how when white men are raping people, they take their time. That,
ew.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the scene, and which unfortunately has a carry through to the next part of the episode.
Hooray! But yeah, yay! This dude in the backseat.
Rape a bridge scene.
But he basically is just threatening her in the backseat of her car to get rid of, to stop selling houses to colored people, basically. So she's stuck in the middle of the worst situation where it's just like, you need to sell to these people for your job, and you also are stuck in an illegal situation, and then there's people that are threatening your life to stop doing what you have to do for your job, and it's also completely immoral. So at that point, basically, the only way for her to escape is to blow up her whole life and go to jail and then start afresh, but
yeah,
it's hard. It's not something people want to do. It's to blow up.
It's a real rock in a hard place for sure. It's like go to jail, get murdered by a white racist.
Yeah. So now we get into the worst part of all when we go.
Just when you thought all of what we were talking about was the worst part, it's about to get so much worse. This is the episode, I'll just say, is the reason why I was going to show you the show, because like when I watched this episode, I was like, this is one of the most traumatic things I've ever seen. I'm like, this is so horrible, and it has stuck with me to this day because it is just like so awful. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in film,
and I
wanted to share it with you and to be like, hey Emma, you know what, we're gonna watch this as our first Casual Creeps because I can't wait for you to watch this so you can be as traumatized as me. I feel I'm just like trying to spread out my like trauma to people, and that's
you're
why
trying to share the trauma. How
yeah
nice.
I don't want
to
be alone in watching something so horrific.
It's just funny because I recently went on a road trip across Canada, and when I got back, my friend who was with me stayed here for a few days, and I had mentioned I needed to see the next episode of them, and I went through each episode. I gave her like a rundown, so we were like prepared to watch this episode. This was the first episode she's seen of the whole series. She jumped in straight onto this one, and she's like, well, it's good, but it's super intense. And then I showed her the first episode after, so she could get a better idea of like, what it's like it's leading up to.
Super intense. Yeah, that's super
intense. It got her interested, though.
I can't believe she was.
What else happened?
Good for her for being willing to watch another episode after being that's the first episode.
Okay.
Good for her.
So,
yeah. I'm glad. Okay, well, there you go. See? Well, it's very well made. It's classy. It's a classy production.
It is produced very well. And the music, I think the way that they juxtapose the music, it helps a little bit. Like, it makes it worse, but it also makes it better.
Well, yeah, if it was just complete silence, it would be...
Oh my God, I wouldn't think I could do it.
Yeah.
If it wasn't produced in such a classy way,
artistic
where it was like...
Styling.
It's artistic.
So it can remove you enough from it, so you always know that you're watching a production. So it isn't that raw realness where you feel that you're watching it actually happen, where if there is no music and no stylization, it's like, oh, this is, I don't want to watch this.
It's
like, who the fuck
like,
you want to watch that?
There was a Western movie that I've watched kind of recently, and it was the one starring Hubert Cumberbatch. Hubert Cumberbatch. I think of Hubert Cumberdale from what's the
Hubert Cumberbatch.
Oh no.
Wag the dog. Yeah.
Hubert Cumberbatch. gosh. That's from, oh my god.
Yeah, the Netflix one. I haven't seen it yet, but I know what you're talking about. The dog. There, well, the tale of I'm the just... dog. Or
Hubert yes, the tale. What
the fuck? Tale of the Dog starring Hubert Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh. Oh, Hubert Cumberdale is like
Hubert Cumberdale.
It's like a character from Salad Fingers.
What? It's only Salad Fingers.
Only very specific people will understand that reference. It was like an animated, you know. Yes, you know Salad Fingers.
Oh, so I know the Salad Fingers. What?
Where he named one of his fingers Hubert Cumberdale, and I always mix up Hubert Cumberdale with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Wow, that is, I think, probably the world's most random reason to confuse Benedict Cumberbatch's name is
Hubert Cumberdale.
Salad Fingers. Salad Fingers. Hubert Cumberdale.
Oh, wow.
That's impressive that you remember that, because I...
That took me... It was in there. It just took a little bit. But anyways, so... together.
Hubert Cumberdale.
So the movie, Tale of a Dog, or whatever that movie is...
Who knows at this... I don't even know what's happening anymore, what's real.
So with that movie...
With Hubert Cumberbatch. I feel like if...
I'm trying to get to my point now before we go even further into more tangents that don't make any sense, because this has a point.
There is a point somewhere
so
buried.
That movie is beautifully shot, this Benedict Cumberbatch movie.
Yeah,
but it is super dry, like the way it's shot. It is like very, like, it's cinematic, but it is super long shots.
Yeah.
Very, it can almost be very dull. Like, it feels like...
Yeah, they hold for a long time.
Yeah, it feels like something you'd see out of a film, like a film student that was, like, very, like, arrogant in his skill set. It was just trying to, like, show how, like, dramatic and impressive his work is. So if this show was filmed like that, I think it would be really rough to watch. But because it's done almost... The film techniques are almost verging on campy. Like, it can sometimes be a little cheesy, but because
horribly
the topic is so real and raw and it's gruesome and racist. So having them like walk this fine line of it's still serious, but the way that it's shot is a little bit like helping to soften it, but it's not funny, you know, like it's in a good place.
It creates a surreal imagery.
Yeah, so that's a good way.
It isn't funny. It's just like it's surreal. So you understand that this isn't a true story. You know, this, you don't have to like think about how, oh my god, this is actually happening to somebody. But you also have the understanding that, well, this isn't based off of nothing. It's just a specific story that isn't true. But these events definitely happen to people of the time of that race. And,
I only say that it's not comedic or funny because there are moments where it is clearly shot in a way where it's like set up punchline, like with the doorbell ring. It like kind of like cuts in the middle of a moment that kind of gives you that, where you would levity. See that happen in a, gives you levity that you would see happen in a comedy, but they put it into something like this. So it's kind of like, again, with juxtaposition, they like to do those.
It's very clever. It makes it like, because it almost makes you like, almost like then think about why you're laughing at it, because it's like, oh, well, it's better to laugh than to keep thinking about what's happening right now. And so, it's very good at that. And then, we might as well just get into what happens and how it has this wonderful Amityville horror shot with the red. And it's like, that's the same shot from the opening of the show, by the way. They use a lot of repeated imagery from the first episode.
But it works, because really what they're doing is they're resetting up the first scene of the series again which is basically shot for shot, it's the same as the beginning, except now we see what happens.
Yes, we do.
See, once again, we see Lucky feeding Chester and her in their old house down in the south.
Feeding him peaches, which are is right. a repeated theme of how, like, peaches are ruined for everybody in the family, essentially. Because, well, then it happens later, but we'll talk about that. But peaches is what she's
feeding. Okay, peaches, yeah.
Peaches is a common theme.
Yeah, it's the same situation with the old creepy woman coming up to the house, singing the racist song, and demanding that Lucky gives her son Chester. And so Lucky is running back into the house, and you can hear her and more people trying to, like, break in. And so she's grabbing Chester, hides Chester in the pantry in, like, a little basket as she's trying to hide herself away from these people. And they break in, and there's three creepy hick old deep south hick men rednecks coming in, and they grab Lucky, pin her down, and then this woman is kind of like searching around the house for Chester, and it's like both of these things are happening at the same time, and while this is happening, there's like this cheerful kind of music that's playing, almost like it's supposed to be like, it's a goofy funny scene that's happening, like, oh, this is silly, but it's super horrific. We see the creepy woman has started to figure out where the baby is, and meanwhile these two dudes have pinned Lucky down and have started raping her. It's super disgusting. She's screaming. And then we see I couldn't figure out what the hell this woman was trying to do with Chester. Like, she brings him out and she's like doing like a peekaboo thing with him. And then she says, cat in a bag. And then she keeps repeating this. The music gets louder. This cheerful music gets louder. She finds a pillowcase, puts Chester in this pillowcase, and then starts swinging it and starts tossing it back and forth between the other men. And it's just this intercut with this cheerful music, with Lucky screaming on the ground, with like just all of these things happening at once. And you're just sitting there with your jaw agape, like, what the fuck is happening right now? How did people even think to do that?
I have no idea. Like, what the fuck is the term cat in a bag? Who thought of this? Even the person, like, do you put a cat in a bag? Like, that's still horrible in and of itself, let alone putting a baby in a bag.
It's like, I need to research that term. Like, what does that initially mean? Or is that just, like, her own fucked up mind is just like, oh, cat
in a bag? I have a feeling it's based off something, but I'm too afraid to look it up because I don't want to. It'll just make me really sad. Because the only idea I can come up with is that people just put cats in bags and beat them on the ground like they did that poor child. So that was the worst part. I will never forget that. That is why I remember the show, is because of that moment. It is so, like, impactful that you will not forget that ever. That will stick with you.
Yes. Okay. I looked it up while you were talking because I needed to know.
Oh, good. What terrible thing does it mean?
So I'm looking at the general one right now, and it just says, where did it go? Oh, wait. It just says a ruse, swindle, or suspicious transaction, cat in a bag.
Okay.
Putting the cat in the bag. And then... Okay, well, I'll let you continue in on the story because I'm looking up the racist meaning now.
Oh, good. All right. So, yeah, after that delightful exchange where their baby gets murdered and they walk off scot-free, they never get taken to justice. Nothing happens with that. And then they have a funeral with their friends and family, and you know, the kids are kind of afraid of the mom, and this is kind of where the idea that why the children are afraid of their mom is because of how she acted after, you know, Chester got murdered, which is pretty understandable why you would be distraught after that. And so at one point, the little girl cuts her peaches and gives them to her. It's like, hey, mom, it's like, here's some peaches. And she just throws up in front of it at the idea of even eating a peach. And so she then gets scared of her mom. And the mom starts, like, going, just, like, holding the bloody cloth of the bag that Chester was killed in. And she's just, like, insanely looking out into a field and clutching this bloody sack. And the two little girls are looking out the window. And it's like, you know, they just tell each other. It's like, we'll never be like mom. We'll never be like mom. We'll never be like mom. Yeah,
it's so sad.
And it's so sad. Yeah, because this poor woman deserves to grieve. Like, she had to, like, well, yeah, we don't need to go back into it. But she has a lot to deal with, a lot to unpack. And because of that, she gets ostracized from her own family, essentially. And then you find out that the dad gets a call to be able to, like, take his engineering job in California. And that's kind of what sets up them deciding to move. And you find out that, like, them moving happened pretty quickly after the murder of Chester. And she isn't even over it, and that really adds a layer to everything that's happening, because she's still trying to fucking grieve about, like, not just the death of her child, but also fucking the fact she got raped. And so they have to deal with that, move to new place, and now there's a bunch of more white assholes trying to mess with them. And so it's like, oh, okay, I get it.
And to add to everything else that everything that happened in the South, when I was looking up the racist term for cat in the bag, I couldn't find anything immediately, but I did see some people were tweeting about that episode of the show, and one person was saying how he's frustrated that people are saying scenes like this in this show are just, like, fictional, like they're things that are too horrific to have ever happened to people in the South, but he has heard stories. He's heard stories of his ancestors and elders where worse things have happened to them. So it's things like that have happened, and worse things have happened, and things like that continue to happen.
Yeah.
So it's horrific for us to imagine, because we are privileged enough to have never had to go through experiences like that, or our ancestors, like near ancestors that I know of, anyways.
Could happen,
It's absolutely brutal. And then that gives me more insight into the scene after when they are at the funeral. Because when I initially watched it, I was like, do they not, maybe they must not have told them everything that happened to Chester, because they seem way too casual about this. But it's like, they're probably so used to white people doing this shit that it's not that big of a shock, because a lot of them are sitting around just smoking and kind of, like, joking around.
It's a commonplace thing, I think, for them. Like, they understand, and they obviously sympathize, but they know that this is what white people do to them.
I wrote down, where is it? Yeah, so I'm not sure if she's a family member or a friend, but there's this other woman and Lucky are standing in the kitchen or something after the funeral, yeah. and her friend is like, "The Lord hath given, and the Lord hath taken yeah. away."
And you find out why Lucky isn't a religious woman.
Yeah, and Lucky's like slaps her in the face and is like, "When he comes for your boy, give my regards to your Lord."
Yeah.
Fuck you for saying that.
Oh,
like, Daniel, what the actual fuck?
Asshole, don't say that shit after a child.
Don't say that immediately after someone loses their child. After someone loses anybody. Like, it's such a rude thing to say.
Yeah, and ignorant. You know what? That person is not going to see the grand design that the Lord has for them in that moment. Like, leave them alone. Good Lord. Leave them alone. Just let them feel awful. Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. So
it's pretty horrific.
It's terrible. And, yeah, just... Yeah, yeah. Then that kind of is just about how awful that experience is and how they decide to move to California.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that they're just, like, embedding themselves, like the combination of the two, if you think about it, because the beginning scene kind of gets lost when you're watching the second half of the episode with Cat in a Bag. Like, that is what invades your mind and what will really stick with you. But the first half also very cleverly shows how they're actually going into such a terrible manufactured situation where white people are oppressing them, not so violently as they were in the South, but just as oppressive. And they're controlling them just the same through these, like, new laws of just sucking their money dry. So even if they're hardworking, they don't get the same benefits that, like, white Americans get. So they're never going to be able to achieve the same as most white Americans unless they work super, super hard. And so it's like putting them at a disadvantage right away. And so it's like, okay, well, it's like you're not going to get murdered here. Well, maybe you will. But we'll just drain you instead. And so we'll keep you alive, but you're just going to be feeding the government money instead.
You're only there to benefit the system. You're there to benefit the white people that live there.
They and allow if you're not doing them that, to come.
Yeah. If you're not doing that, then they're going to find other ways to fuck you over, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll get their pound of flesh one way or another.
Yeah. So it's different tactics in the States, but it's definitely still happening. So yeah, that was that episode. And when we end, we end the episode while they're still in their old house, and Henry is trying to convince Lucky to get in the car. They've got their daughters in there waiting for them, and she's just looking at the case that Chester's box that has his stuff in it still. And Henry is like, "It doesn't matter where we go, he'll always be with us." And Lucky agrees, he'll always be with us. But that's how it ends. Just ominous on this box of Chester's things, and cuts to black.
That's a fun episode. So, there's not much to say.
Real dark.
It's a very visual Dave. Episode. Yeah, sorry, Dave. Dave is the most depressing one. But it's also our shortest episode because it's so depressing. Because
we didn't want to linger. And honestly, episode itself is only 30 minutes. It's not a long one, but it is a fucked one. So
is that episode only 30 minutes?
31 minutes.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's like quite a time change between other episodes that are like an hour long.
I noticed this one is shot much more dreamlike. So apart from the beginning is more structured. Yeah, normal. Is like this happens, then happens. But then after the shit goes down, it's very dreamlike because you see how you can imagine when you're that traumatized, that fucked up. Everything is blurring together. She's losing her sanity, just trying to understand and deal with the grief of being raped and being
trying to escape having moment, your essentially
having your child be murdered in such a horrific way right in front of you while everything is happening. So It is shot very, very dreamlike, where shots are kind of melding together. There was a point where I actually just thought a shot was just straight up Lucky dreaming of herself, like, picking the lavender, but it was happening in reality. So I was like, this, I don't know what this is, what is happening, but I think it's really just showing how much they've all lost it there as a family, and how much they needed to just escape. They needed to leave. Like, it would have been almost impossible to leave without trying to get over Chester, but I think it was probably one of the only ways they could have moved forward.
Yeah.
Like, how could you live in a place like that where everything like that happened, you know? So.
Yeah, that'd be.
And you're not getting impossible. Support from your family necessarily. They're just kind of like, this is just what happens.
Yeah, and people just tell you, it's like, now you have to move on. It's like, oh, well, that's real easy to do.
Cool. And if something like that happens in your house, why would you want to stay in case something worse
Everything
happens?
Would remind you of it. Everything would remind you. Yeah, and you're still living in the house where that happened.
And it's
so
still dangerous because those people are still around. They could come back. Yeah.
Yeah, so it definitely makes sense why they decide to leave. It's just, it's very terrible. But that makes a lot of sense, and it's very dreamlike. Because it's why it's shorter, just because
surreal.
It has such heavy content that you wouldn't really want to you just want that part of the story to be its own thing. And it's really clever that they decided to shorten it rather than tacking on like another part on the end of that to make it like an hour, like, you know, most shows would do, where it's like, okay, well, every episode has to follow the format of this amount
it's,
of time.
I've noticed that.
But
it's nice
good
with
about
this
allowing that.
It's nice with this series because every episode is a different length. So it's almost like they just
big
need
movie.
They have like a maximum that they can't go over.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's
I'm
like
sure
anything
make it like 2 hours, but
they're
very good.
They're doing
like,
a good job.
They're thinking about the story over the format, which I appreciate. Yeah. Because I didn't even realize, because, you know, watching that episode is like, ooh, it's so heavy. It feels longer than it actually is, because, oh boy. Like, even this time when I watched it, I was like, okay, I've watched this before. I do not want to watch the whole thing again, so I skipped it.
Yeah.
I did, like, a 10-second skip where it was like...
So you're just like, this happened, yep, this happened, yep, this
but
happened.
But, like, every still frame is horrifying. It's, like, it's a horrible thing to watch, just the still frames of every 10 seconds, because you're trying to skip through it, but you're seeing just another little snippet from every 10 seconds. And because I've seen it before, I perfectly understood what was happening. I was like, oh, this is almost worse.
It's terrible. It's very emotionally charged. Everyone is at every point going through something terrible, so this is not a fun one to watch, but I think it's a necessary
one to
understand why everyone is so traumatized.
Traumatized. Just in case, because, you know, every other episode has been so lighthearted and fun and carefree. It's now you get to watch the really depressing episode.
Yay.
Oh, yay. I think that's the perfect way to end it.
Great. That's the, that was them, episode 5. We'll be back soon with another them.
Fun-filled episode of them.
We're getting close. We're getting close.
We're almost done peeling this Band-Aid, Dave.
Almost
Don't
done.
Worry. It'll be lighter
then we'll get
eventually.
To something a little more fun, lighthearted.
We promise. We promise. It'll be more casual than a horrible, horrible, oppressive racism.
All right. Until next time, see you guys later.
Bye.
All right. Podcast's over.